In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every weekday, millions of American children place their hand over their heart and begin reciting those familiar words, "I pledge allegiance to the flag." In a very real sense, they're responding to the unasked yet assumed question, "To whom do you swear your allegiance?" And to the republic for which it stands. In this postmodern age where we face enemies both known and hidden, our nation rightly asks us to declare our loyalty, one nation under God, a nation that calls upon her finest to defend to the death all that we hold dear, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. When our Lord asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" he was calling forth a similar, yet far more profound, confession. That question was not meant only for Peter and the other disciples. It's a question that our Lord puts to his church in every age. "Who do you say that I am?" Anytime we speak of the Christian faith, whether in the classroom, in a sermon, in conversations with other Christians, even in encounters with non-Christians, moving behind every discussion of the faith is the implicit call to answer Jesus' question. Who do you say that I am? What do you believe about me? Holy Scripture provides other examples of such confessions of faith, like Nathanael, "You are the Christ, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel," or Martha, who gave a similar confession in the midst of her sorrow following the death of her brother. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." And Stephen, who made the good confession, knowing that as he spoke the truth, it would not be well received. The history of the church is also littered with such confessions. Polycarp of Smyrna, whose confession did not waver even as he made his way to being burned at the stake. Athanasius, who endured one exile after another as he defended the faith against the Arian heresy. Martin Luther, who stood firmly and boldly before the Holy Roman Empire, saying, "Here I stand, I can do no other." Hermann Sasse, who refused to put his name to the Barman Declaration, a document he helped author after its confession was watered down to placate the Reformed. The sad truth is that we don't always make a good confession. But why should that surprise us? If Satan is a liar and the father of lies, which is what Jesus calls him, then it stands to reason that he's not going to sit idly by as we confess the truth concerning God. Just look at Peter when he was asked whether he was one of Jesus' disciples. Not only does he deny any relationship with him, he doesn't want to admit to even knowing about this man, and then calls down curses just to get the bystanders off his back. What about you? Has your confession faltered? Have you ever failed to bear witness to Christ with clarity and conviction? It's not too difficult to make the confession here on campus, is it? But what about that time when you're in the hospital room with a total stranger? Or you're on rounds during CPE training and you're the only Lutheran in the group? Or when you end up in a circuit where it seems as though you're at odds with every other pastor in that circuit? Suddenly, St. Paul's words to Timothy don't seem quite as reassuring. "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." The Lutheran Church was born in the midst of such confession. Even more significant than Luther's personal confession was the confession of those princes of Germany who stood before the same emperor in 1530 to set forth the teachings of the Lutheran Church. And ever since, that's how we've been identified, churches of the Lutheran Confession. In fact, as long as we stayed with the German language, and some wish we still did, We maintain that expression even when speaking of other churches. Hence, we'd speak of those who belong to the Methodist Confession, the Baptist Confession, the Roman Catholic Confession. But what terminology do we use in English? It's the language of denominations, like those bills in your wallets. Imagine, general Protestants might be identified as the $1 bills, Lutherans get the $5 bill, Roman Catholics the 10, and Episcopalians the 20, because after all, they always have all the money. But what does such language get us? It just waters down the distinctions. And of course, we have a whole new term for that one, non-denominational. Talk about an oxymoron. The truth is, we're all confessionals, not just certain numbers or groups get to have that claim. We're all confessionals, whatever brand or flavor an individual might choose. The only difference is whether our confession is deliberate and bold or haphazard and halting, fuzzy and ambiguous. No one gets to escape the question, who do you say that I am? As we continue on in the account in our text, what usually comes to mind is the contrast between Peter's bold confession on one hand and then his rebuke of Jesus that follows. But instead, I want you to focus on a different aspect of this text. Peter's confession cuts right to the chase. You are the Christ. That means God's anointed, Israel's Savior and Redeemer. How easy, though, it is to get that confession wrong, as we've already mentioned. So when Jesus continues on by predicting his own death, what he's doing is filling out that confession. What does it mean that I'm the Christ, he's asking? It means that I must suffer and die and rise again. There we have the heart and center of the Lutheran confession, that our God breaks into this world, comes among us to die in our place and to rise so that we might have everlasting life. Just think how closely the creeds are built upon that prediction of Jesus. But he's not done. He fills out the confession even more, explaining what this all means for you. It's a life of following Jesus, of denying oneself and taking up his cross. Grasping at the false hopes of this world will only result in forfeiting your life and finding a Savior who will be ashamed of you when he returns. And so we confess. Living in the grace of our baptism, we confess the truth that God has revealed concerning himself. We say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Spirit. We draw life from him in whatever way he gives it, in the scriptures, which not only declare God's truth, but deliver God himself to us. In the absolution, where our Lord speaks his word of pardon and peace, and in the Holy Supper, where his body and blood are given to nourish our soul and body to life everlasting. Left to our own devices, our confession can only limp along, but set free by his mercy and grace and empowered by his Spirit, our confession is bold and strong. He is the Christ, your God, God's Son, and most certainly your Savior. In the name of Jesus.